the rest of the story. David was a nobody. Born in a Russian ghetto, he immigrated to America age 9, grew up in the slums of New York. In his teens, he found work as an office boy, then as a telegraph operator. At 21, he got a job at New York's Wanamaker department store. On the top floor, the store had installed what was being called the world's most powerful radio station. David was the station's telegrapher, but he was still a nobody until the night of April 14, 1912. Over the radio receiver, he's listening to the usual patter of telegraphic dots and dashes when his keen young ears detect something in the background, something faint and far away and engulfed in static. It's a telegraphic message from a ship, the SS Olympic, 1,400 miles at sea, and the message is repeating, SS Titanic ran into iceberg, sinking fast. The young man can scarcely believe what he's hearing. The much-celebrated British ocean liner, epitome of luxury, boldly labeled unsinkable, is going down on its maiden voyage, and David is the first person on land to know. He fumbles for the telegraph transmitter key and signals to the Olympic at sea, message received, transmit details, and with his free hand he reaches for the telephone, notifies the press. Shortly, the streets below are inundated with hastily prepared newspaper extras, their headlines shouting the newly discovered tragedy. Coastal radio stations and vessels in the disaster area are alerted. Soon the airwaves are jammed with the colliding signals of those wishing to help, and yet together they've only made matters worse. Now no one can hear. So President Taft is notified, and he declares that all radio transmitters are to shut down immediately, all but that one atop Wanamaker's in New York, which received the initial distress signal. That station alone will communicate with the distant icy Atlantic. So it happened that the whole anxious world turned to a young man it never knew, alone on the highest floor of a Manhattan department store, riveted to a set of earphones. Masses converged on Wanamaker's, reporters, friends and relatives of those aboard Titanic, crowds of the concerned, the curious. Then police were summoned to restore quiet, otherwise the young telegraph operator would be unable to discern the names of the survivors as they were transmitted from the rescue ships. And hours became days. But David, though exhausted, was kept awake by the awareness of his enormous responsibility. Listening intently to the sporadic staccato pouring through his earphones, he ate practically nothing. And in 3 days, his lonely vigil was over. And you can imagine what else. Because as the airwaves fell silent, a new celebrity was born. And even more, the art of radio communication itself was elevated in the world's estimation from scientific curiosity to outright necessity. And that fledgling industry neither forgot nor failed to repay the man we remember as president of RCA and later president of NBC, who would live to be revered as the father of American television, once a nobody named David Sarnoff. Only now you know the rest of the story. Yes.